Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, Episode 82, Patio Furniture. We've got two segments for you this week. Up first, we've got a commentary of and discussion on the latest Nintendo Direct, and after that, there's a roundtable discussion on the history and fate of LucasArts. Enjoy the episode.
Special Nintendo Direct segment here on Connectivity, and we're also doing this on YouTube, so you can watch this on the NWR exclusive account as we talk over the Nintendo Direct. I'm NWR's director, Neil Ronahan, and with me is our news editor, Patrick Barnett.
For a second, I thought you were going to say Neil World Report or something like that. World
Report. It is, I mean, if only my middle name started with W, then would be good. And yeah, we got Patrick, or Trick, as the cool kids call him. And we also have Tyler Olu, our features editor.
Hey, I don't call him Trick. No, I'm not cool, I guess.
Yeah, you haven't joined the hype train yet.
Yeah. You need to come to PAX East with us. And then
I call him, like, what have I called you? I called you Barnyard.
Barnyard. Barn that was animal.
My favorite. Barnyard Barnett is pretty good.
And then he told me, like, his professor called him, like,
patio
what was it?
Furniture.
Patio furniture. It was like the worst one. I told him to get to tell his professor to get out. Just get out of the room. That's terrible.
Name.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, what we're going to do is watch the Nintendo Direct video, and we will talk over it as we watch it. So, I'm going to hit play on the YouTube video in just a second. But before then, guys, just remember you have to push to talk. There's a little thing there by the video. Once we start, then we're all going to be muted. So, we need to hit that if we want to say things.
Okay.
All right. So, starting the video. There it goes. Yay! Are we going? I think we're going.
I think so. Yeah. For whatever reason, I paused the video.
Oh, I think I might have hit play, and then you hit play. So there is Iwata with Mario and Luigi, which is getting kind of ridiculous at this point.
They've been using those mascots far too often for gags.
But then they do this stuff where, like, they're all wearing the gloves. I just feel like Iwata's sitting around, like, preparing this comedy routine. Like, he probably goes home at night and tells his wife about how, oh, I got all these good ideas for the next Direct. We need to do another one. That's why we get, like, two or three in a row sometimes.
I just love Luigi's reactions in the background.
And Mario's all pissed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so what were you guys' expectations going into this?
For me, like, I think, like, there's, like, this weird thing that happens where, like, of course people get excited, and then there's people that are like, it's going to be nothing, and then there's people who are like, I'm cool, I'm going to tell people just to take it easy and act like I have some insider knowledge and be like, there's not going to be anything, don't get too excited. So it's like, I was like, oh, whatever, I don't know really what to expect anymore, like, oh, my God. yeah, Patrick, off to you.
I see now we're just kind of getting into this Mario and Luigi here, and this is kind of what I was really hoping to see, because I really, really love the Mario and Luigi series.
I loved seeing more information on this,
what I wanted.
And we know that probably by the time you were watching this or listening to this, definitely Carmine and Aaron got to play the game, and all I heard, Aaron told me it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. He'll say more than that in his impressions, but that's what we know so far.
I was telling you earlier, Neil, that when they first showed this, I think it was back at the February Direct, that I wasn't really a huge fan of the art style. It just kind of struck me the wrong way.
Yeah.
But I watched the 3D trailer today on my 3DS, and it's way more impressive, I think, in 3D. It has that effect where everything kind of smooths out, and it just looks a whole lot nicer in 3D.
Yeah. And actually, the stuff that they're kind of showing now, because they showed like a weird perspective on a bros move. That's something that I think is really cool from what we've seen about this game.
Yeah. The series really hasn't changed that much in that aspect.
Yeah, but like they're using the propeller thing, and that's a battle where you're using the gyroscope and you're doing timed button presses. And it just seems like they're kind of doing something a little bit new with the battle. I don't know if this is, you know, that might just be a bros move or something, but still it's cool that they're doing different things than just keeping that side view perspective and doing timed hits.
But the side view perspective will still be there, though, for sure.
Yeah. And all the stuff with the multiple Luigis is really funny. I like coming up soon is Luigi Katamari.
There it is. I noticed people were really excited about like how it does like three digits of damage. They're like, oh my god, yeah. The Mario and Luigi series is big leagues now.
Yep. Instead of like Paper Mario, where it's like, you did 2 hit points, you just defeated Bowser.
I had a friend who had such a hang up.
At some point in the distant future, it's going to be like Final Fantasy. By the end of the game, you're going to be doing like 99,000 damage.
Yeah, that always rang false with me with a lot of games where it just seemed like they threw on extra digits.
Yeah.
There's like, Luigi. Maybe he just stuck his tongue in Iwata's ear. We don't know.
It's just so dumb.
Like, it's really like, I feel like there's like, they probably have comedy writers.
Yeah.
You're going to hear like, you know, some guy who writes for The Onion is like, I got a job with Nintendo in Japan. Going out there to work on Nintendo Direct.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, I can't wait for Mario Golf. And especially, they're going to talk about the asynchronous stuff in a little bit. And, oh, man.
Do you think that means, like legit asynchronous? Like, you take a shot, your bud takes a shot? Or was it, like, a course?
I mean, it seemed like it's the kind of thing where, like,
if it was hole to hole, that'd be awesome.
Like, I don't know if it's necessarily hole to hole, but maybe I'm using the term incorrectly because of my lack of knowledge.
Well, it can mean like lots of different things. I was just thinking of like where you like take turns like back and forth, but it seems like it's going to be like, oh, your buddy scored. Like, it'll just tell you, it'll be like, oh, yeah, your friend scored, you know, -2 on this hole. What can you do? Which is cool.
I've been playing, or I played a lot of Hotshots Golf on Vita, and this seems kind of very similar to it.
Yeah. One thing that I hope they do is I played a lot of the PS3 one like a few years ago, and they had like worldwide tournaments, and it was like timed, so you can make your own tournaments and have them go whatever. But otherwise, or you would join, or you'd be like, it'd be like, come back in like half an hour, and you can play in the tournament with other people. And it was really, really smart. It worked really, really well. And it was weird to like wait around, but like you could actually be like, well, I know I'm going to be home at 8 o'clock, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really excited to see how communities work on that because. Mm-hmm. To me, I feel like Mario Golf could be a little more, I guess, long-tailed than stuff like Mario Kart because it is a lot more of a passive game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's going to do really well with, say, like tournaments and stuff like that where it's built over time with a community where you actually have high scores with your friends.
I really like golf, guys. And I know, Patrick, you're the same way as me where we both play it from time to time. But I really dug Hotshots Golf on Vita. And I've always loved the Mario Golf games even more so than Hotshots Golf. So,
oh, most definitely. Hotshots Golf got weird and like it gets like super weird and racial sometimes. Like, it's like, oh, I'd rather just play with Toad than this like weird, like romantic Hispanic guy that's freaking me out.
Big buff black Mr. T looking fellow.
Yeah. And like your slob of a caddy. It's so gross.
Now this is a kind of weird thing because it says summer 2013, which, I mean, we got an exact date for Mario and Luigi Dream Team. It's coming out on August 11th, but we didn't get anything for Mario Golf. But I think it's still got a very good chance of coming out in July in North America because
I think it does too. I think it's a case of they're waiting until they can solidify a worldwide release date because that seemed to be their focus there.
Yep. But then again, because Mario Luigi is coming out in July in the other two regions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why I think Mario Golf might be August for the other regions and July for North America. But that might just be wishful thinking on my end.
But we're on the Mario Party 3DS here.
As soon as I saw those fools throwing the dice around, I was like, here comes Mario Party. And I hate to be a hater. It's just like, I know, what am I going to be able to play multiplayer with this? And I'm not going to be able to. So you were not there
at PAX for the Mario Party shenanigans. So. Yeah.
I would have loved him, and I really want to play 9.
It's way different than 9, because 9 did some things that changed the series, and this is just kind of like, it's like the old ones again.
Yeah. Although each map with their own unique features seems kind of different. Although I guess Mario Party 8 kind of did that. I remember the one where you like buy properties and stuff in Mario Party 8.
But I mean, this game seems a lot more like a sequel to 8 than 9, because 9 was so drastically different.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm honestly kind of excited for this, and if they throw in online, I don't know if that's something I would play all the time, but it's something that I would be interested enough in to play.
Yeah. If it was online, like then I would be down. But if it's not, like, and I hate to be that kind of person. I don't like when people are like, why isn't this online? But and with Mario Party, like, I just don't. The experience doesn't work for me in single player. Like, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Do we know if it's definitely going to be local multiplayer for sure? Right.
I would assume.
Is it going to be
just no multiplayer in it at all?
Is it going to be download play? Like, that's the question I want to know.
That's what DS was.
Okay.
This seems, you know, kind of in line with what DS was, so.
Without that, I can't imagine gathering four friends that all bought Mario Party.
Yeah. I really hope it's...
Would that be easy to find?
Yeah.
I hope it's download play and everyone has to play like Yoshi or like Toad and it becomes like the most confusing thing ever.
They are mini games too.
Yeah, that looks really sweet.
That I'm glad to use AR cards. I'll have to find mine. It was funny. I was at a Street Pass event last weekend where some guy was trying to sell his AR cards because he's like, I don't use them.
Well, now he is.
Yeah. There's a Luigi bowing. I still am just floored by the Iwata shtick about all these things.
He didn't do anything too ridiculous this time. Like, yeah. He's done far, far worse before.
Yeah, it's more the people around him.
Yeah.
Oh, in his mouth, Luigi.
Yeah, new Super Luigi U, which is coming out in June in Japan, and it's just the nebulous summer in other regions. But this is 82 new levels in New Super Mario Bros. U that are apparently hard as balls because you only have 100 seconds to go through them.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. That caught me by surprise, and like just the look of them is crazy. But yeah. If it's hard, then it really multiplayer missing is a big factor. And I know my wife not enjoying it, and this difficulty looks pretty crazy. I know I'll enjoy it, but I really like this series as something that people that got lost with the 3D Marios can come back to. So I think that's kind of disappointing. Yeah. But you know, it's completely optional, and she had her fill probably. But I just think it's too bad that people may not be able to enjoy this that should be able to.
It does. I mean, just as a fan of Mario and platformers, this just looks really, really great. And I love, how Luigi animates with his little bit of differences where he has the wobbly jump and kind of slips around. It just looks really nice in this art style, which is probably the first time I've ever said that something looks really nice in this art style. And it's not that I hate the art style, but it's just like there's something a little sterile a little bit about it. And I think Luigi kind of helps make it look a little more animated. And I love the logo.
Yeah, that's just, I thought it was like really dumb. And then I was like, oh, well, it grows on me. And I like that it looks like spray paint or something. It's weird. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
It was a pretty awesome beginning. And then, I mean, we haven't even really gotten to the amazing stuff yet.
Yeah.
Are you guys down for the Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D?
Oh, absolutely.
I've been like flip-flopping back and forth, and after after watching this, I'm kind of want it because I didn't finish Donkey Kong Country Returns on Wii, and this one just kind of looks like I'd play it.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a timing issue where I didn't play the other one because I didn't play a lot of games back when it came out.
I know I basically wrote a blog post on the website where I talked about how I, you know, it was just, it came out when the Wii finally started getting old for me. So I can't imagine how everyone else must have felt because I was super into the Wii for like 4 years. And it seemed like the rest of the world was in it for about 15 minutes.
If I remember, the Wii version came out right after Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Yeah, it was that same holiday season.
And I think I was a little platformered out at that point because I 100%ed Epic Yarn. Oh, my God.
Who 100%? Oh, my God. I can't believe you 100% that game. That's crazy. Good for you. That's awesome.
I got to, like, 95%.
I can't even bother. I think I have, like, a disgusting amount of hours with that, like, playing with my daughter. But by no means am I 100%ing it, like, ever. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
What do you guys think about this easy mode?
I'm cool with it. I finished the first one, but I know I had a hard time. Like, I definitely had a hard time towards the end, and I just like this more. Just, you know, I don't know. Like, I can get some. It might be easier to get someone else to play. I might check it out just to get through it again because I've already beaten it, and I just would like to get through it and play the new content because, of course, there's new content. But you have to play the whole game again. Yeah. So, like, that's happened with me with Mutant Muds now. Like, I am not going to play the granny stuff
in Mutant Muds Deluxe. I think the granny stuff is unlocked in the beginning.
That would be amazing.
I'm 90% sure.
Yeah, okay, cool. Because I asked, and I didn't really get an answer, so. But that sounds good. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, this looks really good, because I forgot kind of how beautiful this game looks.
Oh my God, it's amazing. And I like the new items just to make things easier for you and stuff like that. As long as they don't lock anything out by playing the easier difficulty, like, that's totally fine. I don't know if they really would do that, but it's not like it hasn't happened before, so.
I also do love the way that Iwata kind of words it, where he basically says, like, hey, you're a pussy if you play this mode. You can really play the game on this.
Word for word from his mouth.
Right, yeah. There. Iwata just starts, like, throwing down rhymes. He's just like, Wu-Tang Clan, ain't nothing to fuck with.
Do you think you're going to be able to switch between the new and original mode on the
Actually,
fly?
Or if you look at the text in the video, I kind of zoomed in on it. It says you can't.
Okay.
But all these new worlds, there's going to be, or all these new worlds, all the 8 new levels. I'm kind of excited to see it also because it'll be Monster Games making some platforming levels after porting the game over, which seems interesting to me.
Yeah, hopefully it means something. Hopefully it is a sign of something to come. Like, that would be really cool.
There's a very good chance that if this sells well and if the new content is well received and the port's good, I think we'll see Monster Games making a Donkey Kong Country Returns 2.
I'm like learning new stuff here. I had no idea you could feed that guy peanuts and that would make him pause. Oh my god. What have I been doing? That's amazing.
May 24th. I'm super stoked for this.
Oh, I was so nervous because here in Canada, it's like a holiday. Like maybe in the States too, like May 2-4 weekend. But it's something weird where it's like it's actually the weekend before or something. Like, yeah, so.
Ugh. It's the Friday.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah, I know it's not. So basically it doesn't affect the game coming out.
All right, so here's the first of many megatons. Yoshi's Island 3DS, which I guess is kind of Yoshi's Island 3. I've seen some people refer to it as that, but I think right now it's Yoshi's Island on 3DS. And the art style has been kind of controversial so far. What do you guys think about it?
I like it.
I do too.
I don't know. I guess it's like an I don't care approach. I guess that's kind of like how I live. Like I don't really want to be like, oh my god, it makes me sick. It looks terrible. What are they doing? This is all just for nostalgia. But I don't really. When I watched it originally, it was just my phone, so I didn't know it. Now I'm watching it a bit bigger, and it looks like a weird like. Almost like really old CG renders or something. Like there's something about it.
It looks like kind of a mixture between like every style of Yoshi game over the past.
Yeah, it makes me think a lot more of story, but like so I don't know. It's weird, but by no means would it make me not play it. But I do think it looks weird. I don't feel that way about the other stuff shown off today. I think everything else looks like beautiful, but this looked weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, I like it because it kind of marries that like watercolor paintings of the Super Nintendo one, and then. Kind of brings in more modern character designs that it looks almost like a new Super Yoshi's Island.
it definitely makes me think of New Super Mario Bros. U because of those crazy backgrounds where you're like, that has a pretty hot fucking background.
Yeah, and can we just play there?
Yeah.
So Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move is coming out May 9th, and I'm on board for this. It kind of looks like Pipe Dream, and I loved me some Pipe Dream when I was younger.
Is the only thing it really has in this game these pipes? Like,
is
that the main game?
There are 4 different game modes from what they said, and there's like 180 levels.
Hmm. I'm definitely more on board because it's not that other style that was like being done to death that it really lost me. I really did not like it. So this is really
cool. I played the DSiWare one and really loved it and almost got the most recent DS one and then realized it was like the same damn thing. I was like, no, I'm good.
How many of those did they release on DS? It was like...
2 and then the DSiWare one.
Okay. I think I have the first DS one. And I didn't get any of the others because I just didn't want to replay it. But this looks like a change of pace. Yep. So.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And we'll be playing it in about 3 weeks.
Oh, he's still going on, on this Mario game. Really when it came up, I lost. I don't know. There's something about it where I don't really care, but it's cool. Like right now, they're showing that you can share levels and stuff like that, so that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I think maybe they had something like that before.
Yeah,
I feel
they
like they did.
On the DSiWare one, I know for a fact that they had you could share levels online and make your own.
I like these mini games too. Yeah. Like the mini actual, just actual
I
small
think
mini games.
There's maybe only 4 mini games. I don't know.
I think they did say that. Yeah.
A fact sheet for it.
Yeah.
Out and about. Well, we made it 17 minutes without a lull, and now we've hit it. But this is also like the lull of the Nintendo Direct, a point where we kind of just went over the Wii U stuff, which is honestly kind of still disappointing.
Well, to be fair, the loading times is very, very much improved.
It's still the most ridiculous video in the world because you're like, wow, it's that bad that, like, that really long loading time is still way better. Like, it's still atrocious. It's still, like, 5 to 10 seconds.
And this little infographic with, like, the two HD things, at first I was like, oh my god, what is this cool new add-on for the Wii U? Yeah. I got excited, and I was like, oh, it's so I can switch stuff.
I do like this, though, that you can install software while you're playing other games, and it also will download and install, like, updates. And also, I think the wording was that, like, if you start downloading a game, then it'll download when you turn the system off, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
I'm mostly really excited annoying. About being able to, or it just does the updates for me, because yeah. I'm tired of a whole bunch of the eShop games, especially, because they update and I don't really know about it. And then when I go back to it, game and it weeks later. It. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, this stuff was all, like, it was okay. Like, I've experienced it elsewhere, and the only thing, the update thing is cool, until there's that one update where people are like, oh my god, it bricks your system, don't update your system, yeah. And you're like, oh, it already did, overnight.
I do like how you can boot directly to Wiimote, too, because I was reviewing Pandora's Tower recently, and
oh, yeah.
Having to use my Wii U for it was obnoxious, because it would take so long to just get to that point. Mm. I have to say, from the Virtual Console games, which that's coming out with the system update, next week, it kind of harshed my buzz a lot, because a lot of these games I have no interest in playing.
Yeah, I was really, like, watching, I was like, oh, now they're going to Miiverse, they're not going to show any other titles. It's all going to be the same stuff, and a lot of NES stuff, like, we've had played a million times, and, like, they're like, Super Metroid, and you're like, yeah, but, like, I'm going to get that for 30 cents next month. That. Yeah, so,
I mean, they have Kirby's Adventure, we know about.
But the only thing I can remain hopeful for Kirby is, like, Superstar. If it's like a week thing where they're going to update it the week after, then, you know, maybe I can get excited for that. Like, if they just want to show the launch day stuff, that's cool. And maybe the next week there'll be more, but probably not.
I can't get too optimistic. Yeah. Super Mario World, I would totally spend $1.50 on updating my version.
You know what? I don't think I even got it on mine. I think I was crazy and didn't buy it, so. But I'll totally pay the full price.
I got all the 2D Mario games that were available on.
I think World was the only one I didn't get. I don't know why. Maybe
I didn't,
like,
get that one because I own it like three other ways already.
Yeah, I will often rebuy Mario games just because I like them, which I'm part of the problem. I know. I could care less about Wii U Panorama View.
It was my favorite E3 demo, though.
Was it this Geisha one? E3.
I think Patrick really liked this weird geisha one going on a date.
I mean, it was a really cool effect, but it's just something that it'll never be anything more than, you know, that looks kind of interesting.
The fact that they're charging $2 for every single tour, I wonder if they're going to be more like long experiences, like a 30-minute actual tour through a city or something.
Maybe.
Like
I mean,
that.
Maybe that will be cool. That might be this kind of thing that I show my parents, and I think that's kind of the intent of it.
Like, I think it'd be cool if you could just go to, like, a city and then sit down and then just kind of walk around for 30 minutes and have someone talk to you while you're doing it.
Well, here's some news. Pikmin 3 has a release date, August 4th.
Unreal.
It's coming out in July in Japan. And I love how they have this whole, like, we fooled you guys. It's like, no, you didn't. We all knew there was, like, some weird pink flying Pikmin there.
The first thing everyone saw.
Oh my god, don't say this, guys. It totally surprised me. I was like, oh my god, how did I not notice that before? Where have I been since, like, a year ago?
The flying Pikmin do look pretty cool, though. I won't lie.
Yeah, I want to see what they do in battle. Like, there's got to, like, does this go over, like, what their hang-up is? Like, there's got to be some hang-up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is their weakness, or I don't understand, unless there's going to be monsters that only eat flying guys or something. I don't know, because right, this whole video is like benefits, so I don't know what's wrong with them. That's weird.
I do love zooming in. Look at the box art, we're fooling you guys.
I wish it kept, I can't tell if that's made of clay. I don't know, it doesn't look like that cool clay freakiness that went on before. I love that stuff.
There is a Nintendo Network logo on that. We don't know what that is.
The only thing I figure is, like, it's probably going to be sharing the screenshots. Remember, because you can take those screenshots right away. I was like, that's what it's going to be, and I wish it wasn't. I wish it was more.
All right, but that's enough for Pikmin 3, because Earthbound, holy shit.
Oh my god, it was crazy. I was freaking out at work. I was at work, and I was like, you know what? Neil's going to kill me if I don't get that Earthbound feature up today.
Yeah, I was about to bother you about that. Go read Earthbound and Down. Although I noticed that you did not use my quote, Dick.
Oh yeah. I was going for something, I think it was like certain people, I don't know, maybe I'll do something. Yeah. I feel bad.
No, it's
keep searching for an excuse. You'll find one eventually.
But when they showed this, I was like, don't show this. Like a part of me was like, don't people think that was really annoying to go and do that, to go and like plague the Miiverse in Japan with like, bring it to America. And they're like, this worked. So I'm like, oh my God, no. Like, I'm just, it just turns me off.
I'm really excited to have a copy of this game because I did not own one.
I've never played it, so.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a wonderful game. I really like it. Although I do enjoy that even NWR's own Jonathan Metz is selling his copy. I guess trying to get the money while he still can, because this might be the kind of thing where, like, this isn't coming out until December. I might be looking for a Super Nintendo copy because they're probably going to plummet in price.
I'm going to keep mine. It's just physical. I'll get the digital one. I just don't – like, I have so many – see, I have no foresight. And, like, I think, like, right before, like, the 3DS came out, I was, like, buying up so many old Game Boy games. Like, I have no foresight of Virtual Console or anything like that. And so I have – and I just bought, like, Mo Mania. I paid, like – pretty good money for some of these games, and it's like, then they're like $5, and I'm like, what was I doing? But I like having it physically, like, just in terms of even just the security of always being able to have it.
So now we're moving on to the Bill Trinan portion of the North American Nintendo Direct, and he's talking about Game and Wario right now. I know we got a release date, June 23rd.
Way later than I expected.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's better than the June 30th that was rumored, but it's still not really good.
Ugh, I thought it was. I remember going on about it being February. Like, that February was this weird magic period for WarioWare games that they loved releasing them in.
Yeah.
But
I do love Trinan's. The way that he looks during this is pretty wonderful.
He has like a Tarantino kind of look to him.
But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to play this game, and it's looking like it's going to be like $40 in North America, so that's not that bad. Because there's enough interesting things in here that I'm excited to do it. And also, it's like, I want to play something on my Wii U.
I look forward to the Ninefold stuff.
It's not going to last that long.
Ninefold is like the reason to play every WarioWare game. Like, they're amazing.
I will routinely still play my Ambassador copy of WarioWare on GBA, my 3DS. Just to play 9-volt games.
I remember on my GBA copy of that game, I went through and played every single one of the minigames in like the minigame only mode, where you like just play the same minigame over and over and over again to get like a star or something next to it. I did all of them. It was ridiculous. Feel like such a.
But I'm still pumped for this game. Like, I don't know. I guess it does seem like the kind of filler that Nintendo will release, and WarioWare is definitely one of those titles, but usually it comes a lot sooner, so it doesn't, this thing isn't there. But this is coming so late, and it seems like it's supposed to be like, here's Nintendo's big release, and you're like, this is it.
This is their second quarter release.
Yeah, it's really crazy. But this farting thing was awesome. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like farting.
Yeah, farting's awesome.
And then they
and this was really dull, too. I was like, ooh, I thought they'd have something like special to announce, but it was like...
showing it off more.
Yeah, I can go watch some videos. I don't know. I'm always like, ooh, what's this notification going to be? Is it the update? Is the update ready? And then it's like, no, there's Mario YouTube videos. No, that's not what I'm going to do right now.
The update is out now, though, right?
Well, for Monster Hunter, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was talking about Wii U.
Oh, okay.
Just making some dumb joke. But yeah, this video made me just jealous the whole time. Like, my character looks nothing like this. Oh my God. I have so much work to do. And Neil wants us to, like, organize a community night. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, it's just basically shame night for me. Like, people are like, man, like, haven't you been singing this game's praises? And I was like, yes, I do like it. I just haven't played too much of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a game that you need to sink so much time into it. And I really enjoyed the Wii version, but I don't have the time to play that game.
I'm just so nervous.
Like, play it for a few hours.
I'm nervous I'm going to go online and people are going to hate me and be like, "What? Let's just leave." I'm like, but it's a newbie thing. And they're like, yeah, but you're too new.
So now they're talking about LEGO City 3DS, which currently Curtis Bonds is playing the final copy for review. The review should be up, I think... Yeah, when the game goes live, so midnight Eastern time on Saturday night. And I know his first impressions were that the load times are even worse.
What?
Which is hard to imagine.
I can't believe that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The way he was describing it, I guess the whole city, whereas in the Wii U version, it's just one giant city. Here, it's broken up into different neighborhoods. And he said each one has its own separate 1 to 2 minute load time.
Oh my god, that's crazy! Now, I used to be excited for like the fact that Nintendo's involvement, but now I'm like, I don't even know how involved they were. Like that seems like something that they would not even let come out if those were the load times. But whatever. I'm selling my copy. I bought it and I'm like of the Wii U game and I'm just like forget it. Like it just too
I
much
don't like
collecting.
It.
No,
I really
not at all.
Dug it.
I'm not digging it like I thought I would, but it's my first Lego game, and I had this mission like super early on. I can even tell you, and you're like, that's within the first like 3 hours. And I think it's like some guy's like, oh man, I need to build this ferry. Go find a super brick. And I'm like, okay, enough. And then like every super brick that I would scan would be like behind some sort of like barrier that I wouldn't be able to access yet because I don't have something.
One of my least favorite parts of the
game. Yeah, and so I had to walk like a day away to get a fucking super brick.
It's a dumb bottleneck.
It was really stupid, and I don't like seeing that. Like, I'm like, this is how you made the game, like, with all these... I just felt it was like, I don't even know, Donkey Kong 64 or something, where I'm like, I have to go and get all this shit just to progress.
What the fuck was that swap note thing? I totally must have just skipped
it. Oh,
it
was the update.
They're sending out new stationery.
Yeah, new stationery.
For different games.
If you play this game, you get new stationery.
I don't, because I don't have swap note.
Yeah. I think they just sent one out for Luigi's Mansion today.
Yeah, I heard about that on the interwebs. Look at that Animal Crossing 3DS XL.
Nice. Man, and like my XL is just like my Wii, where I'm like, what is this made out of? And it's so scratchy, and I have a carrying case? I don't understand it at all. So now I'm like, oh, man. Remember a while ago, I was like, I think I lost my 3DS, guys. I was kind of like, well, I will get to buy a new one, and it won't look like dog shit. Oh, man, and this thing is gorgeous.
What color did you get?
I got a blue one. I just find it just scratches too easy, but I got two girls.
I know
I have scratches too on the inside from my daughter biting it as I'm playing it, my youngest. So it's like when you have kids, like stuff will not be clean. Every disc that you put in your system, you'll have to wipe down. I promise you.
Oh, and how about this, man? The Oracle games. I've never played these. I'm extremely excited.
Yeah, they're going to be awesome.
I don't know which one I played. I played one of them.
I bought Seasons because the whole thing with Seasons is that people were like, oh, this is the more action one, and Ages is the more puzzle one. And now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, I want the more puzzle one.
Yeah.
But
they're
both
amazing.
I will
get both, and I will play both. I'm very excited. I think I might be going on a big 2D Zelda kick in the March 2, that game that will be revealed in roughly 3 minutes.
You're going to really enjoy these games. It's really awesome. I hope that I am sure that there's impressions from the Japanese side of the site about like how the two will interact with one another. I'm sure it's a lot easier than
it is from what I hear.
So that's pretty awesome. And like they're both super great games. I think a problem that they have to really put across is that it's two different games because it was like the Age of Pokemon and it's like, oh, it's the same game, but I'll just get this one. But it's like two different, it was crazy. And there was going to be a third one. It was going to be a remake of the first Legend of Zelda.
Yep. What was that? That was Time, right?
I don't even know what I think it was like before they even came upon this like Seasons and Time thing. It was really rude. I read about the history not too long ago, and it was really interesting.
Yeah, because that's the first flagship developed one, right?
Yep.
All right, so now Bill's talking about Japanese games that are coming
over. This was awesome.
And Bravely Default is coming to 3DS courtesy of Nintendo.
You gotta step up.
RPG, but Nintendo's publishing it, which... I mean, that's what Iwata said a couple months ago, saying that they were going to work with Japanese companies and bring their games overseas. So this looks like one of them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it is 2014.
Yeah.
That's bananas. It's a bummer.
It came out in 2012.
But whatever. I got enough to play. But it's still like, oh, I would like it to be 2013. But I'm so pumped for this game. It's unreal. And I'm hoping I want to see what they do with like all the street passing and stuff, just because it's so much harder to get that done up here, and hopefully it's a lot more online stuff.
Well, that's some of what and then we have the Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy is coming out in 2014, which I mean, I wonder if Layton and Ace Attorney is a lock for the fall, because we've heard kind of Capcom say like it's probably gonna happen, but we haven't heard anything in a while. So who knows?
See, at this point now, I'm like, I would figure that like Ace Attorney 5 is going to be in the fall kind of thing. Like that's what Capcom would probably, because the date was announced for Japan today, right? It's like this summer, right? For Ace Attorney 5. So I don't know. I really, I much prefer Layton versus Ace Attorney, just because of Shu Takumi, right?
Yeah, Takumi. That was his game after Ghost Trick.
Ugh.
So they're moving on to these guild titles, and I'm most excited for this first one, the Starship Damri.
It seems so weird, because it's just like, it just throws you into the game, and you have no idea.
It looks so freaky. Like this weird.
Perfect mix of horror and just adventure.
Yeah.
Because it's made by guys who are renowned, like, visual novelists and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
I was going to, I wanted to talk with Neil and be like, hey Neil, I want to review some of these games, but I don't want to do the Starship one because it's a puzzle game and I'll get stuck and it looks scary. So I don't want to review it.
Yeah. And then Bugs versus Tanks is the Inafune game, which looks weird.
That looks awesome. I can't wait. But it looks weird because there's a lot of German stuff and you're like, World War II? It seems really weird.
Bugs?
I thought, so I'm really excited because he's got a lot to prove. So I really want to see what this game can do. That he's like, it needs to appeal to America.
And he did Soul Sacrifice as well, which I'm downloading the demo as we speak.
Yeah, and this is what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, it looks so weird, but in a good way. It's like a simulation game where it's like that Godzilla is real.
Yeah, and this is the guy that Ray Barnhold has that Kickstarter to go and interview, and that is a great idea, because I had to do research on him for when I was, I think I wrote something about this game, and I was like, I cannot find any information on this guy's game, but this game looks so good.
Yeah, so support Ray's Kickstarter if you're interested in hearing more about the guy who made that game. I just hope these are coming out soon, because they didn't give a release date or anything. I think they're going to be this summer. But yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised if we hear about one coming out at the end of April. But more likely, it'll probably be, you know, starting in May, we'll get one every couple weeks.
Yeah.
All right. And then we have Shin Megami Tensei 4, I believe, is the next game to be announced. Yes. And that package looks fucking sweet.
Oh, man. $50? Like, that's a $50 package. I think there was, like, a thread on NeoGAF that was like, is this the end? And that now every game's going to become a premium game?
Strategy guide, an art book, a CD. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's coming out July 16th, like, only, like, 2 months after the Japanese version, which is unheard of for a Mega 10 game.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and we were talking about the Street Pass stuff earlier, but Atlus seems to be pretty good at allowing for other opportunities for using Street Pass in their games, using play coins in North America.
But now look at this smug guy.
Yeah.
He knows he's got something cool to say.
Yeah. He's like, look at me. I saved these for me.
I was like, oh, it's going to be a Link to the Past remake. And I was like, cool, I haven't played it, so this will be my way to play it. And now I know I have to play it for sure, because we're getting the sequel.
Yeah, it's, I believe in Japan, it is literally called Link to the Past 2, or at least, you know, the Japanese name for Link to the Past. In North America, it's just the Legend of Zelda game. But
do you think we're going to get a different name other than A Link to the Past here in America?
I don't know.
I think so. I don't know. I think just from like things like what was that most recent one that dropped the two? Oh, Luigi's Mansion and there's something else. But like Yoshi's Island DS, how that became like Yoshi's Island DS really late in development. I think they're really weird about just numbers in general, not even just a handheld sequel, but just a sequel having numbers in general. Just, they don't really like it.
The way that this game uses 3D, the stuff with like the turning into a drawing on the wall, it just looks so good.
Yeah.
I really
dig it. I think it's gorgeous. I don't really get this whole, I don't know, like cheap or something that people seem to be implying. I don't get that. I don't know where that's coming from.
Go, you owe it to yourself to go watch the trailer on the 3DS. You can download it off the eShop.
Yeah, and definitely.
It looks beautiful.
I'm really excited. I think it looks gorgeous. And like Link is like super cute. I think it looks like the youngest Link yet. Like it looks like he's a baby. He's adorable. I love it. I really like in the 3D screen.
May have been younger.
Yeah. Well, that is it for the video. Thank you for listening. /watching, and you can check out the rest of this stuff on Nintendo World Report. And I guess if you're still listening, then you're probably listening to us on Connectivity. So, any kind of parting thoughts, guys?
It lived up to whatever expectations I have. I just go into this with no expectations, because if you go in with them, you're going to be disappointed. And if you go in without them, then it's awesome. And you get Bayonetta 2, or you get a Link to the Past sequel. Like, it's insane. So
I think this was the best Direct yet, hands down for me.
Yeah. I think the only one that rivals it is the February 14th one, but this one just builds on that. So I think it
was that the Wii U one?
No, that was the 3DS one where most of these games were announced.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That one was just constant. Yeah, yeah. When it was like summer. It was all these games. And you're like, this summer, this is amazing. Yep. Yeah, mine was probably the Bayonetta 2 one. I think that was a Nintendo Direct.
There were directs, but that was the Wii U event.
Yeah, from like, oh yeah, it was just like okay. That was like last year.
There were directs in Europe and Japan, and then they had the live event in New York.
Yeah. But yeah, I walked away really, really happy. I'm not really gonna get too hung up. I think what's funny is like, right away, like Nintendo was like, "This is a 3DS one," and then because they showed some Wii U stuff, people are like, "Oh man, Wii U! Like, what the hell? They didn't show it. I'm still disappointed in the Wii U." And it's like, "Well, there's probably going to be a Wii U one coming up." And it's not like I'm not even saying Nintendo hasn't dropped the ball. Like, it's been ridiculous. But I think it's crazy to assume like that there's nothing that they don't want to provide information. It's just they just are weird, and they're going to be Nintendo and do it their way. So,
yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it makes the 3DS is like the best system maybe ever right now. Like, it's insane the stuff I'm getting on it. It's unreal.
Yeah, I mean, I routinely said to Patrick when I was talking to him throughout the day about how, like, God damn it, I just want to go home and play video games.
Oh, man.
Just bask. Yeah.
And you got to get stuff finished, too. Like, I'm like, oh, cool, starting Soul Hackers. I really need to get this finished up really soon, and it's going to be,
What do you think of Soul Hackers so far?
I'm liking it. I really like... I said on Twitter, like, I was more of, like, a 64 kid. I don't know if you guys necessarily were as well.
Same here.
So I really missed out on, like, the whole, like, FMV, like... addiction that the other systems had, and this game, like, it has this really cool the way it transfers from 2D to FMV is like actually looks really cool and weird, and like there's something about how old the FMV is that makes it cool again. Like, I don't know, it's really weird, but it's something dumb. There's a character in the game named Masahiro Sakurai, and you're like, oh cool, Smash Brothers guy. I totally forgot. I named my character Sora Masahiro with the nickname Medios, so it's like it's just like friggin' overload in the game, like of like just this, of like that guy's name is all over the place. I don't know what I was thinking. I couldn't find like some sort of like canon name that it doesn't seem like he has one for this game. So I was like, well, I don't know. This guy's, I want a Japanese name, so I'll pick this guy. Oh man, it was crazy.
Should have just made mine Tyler the Fortress.
Yeah. I agree too. Patrick, if you pick it up, Tyler the Fortress, you're playing Legend of Zelda, you're going to play Tyler the Fortress, and you're going to unlock like an optional site, an optional master quest. Guaranteed. And
I might have to abbreviate to like TYLTH Fort.
Yeah, you got to abbreviate it correctly. You're not going to get that master quest. So keep trying. Whatever you're doing, you're not getting it. Just try again. Start over.
All right. Well, that seems like a good spot of any to wrap this up. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
For 30 years, LucasArts has been a player in the gaming industry. Since Disney's acquisition of Lucasfilm, the future of LucasArts has been shaky. Since last week, it was officially announced LucasArts would be shifting into licensing out games. I'm Zach Kaplan, and joining me to discuss LucasArts and the impact its demise has on Nintendo gamers is Andrew Brown.
G'day.
And Kimberly Keller.
Hey.
So, LucasArts has a pretty long history with Nintendo, with their first game called Ball Blazer on NES. What was both of your first LucasArts games, Kimberly?
My first one was definitely Rogue Squadron, which I still play to this day.
And Andrew?
I would have played the Aladdin SNES game way back in the day.
That was LucasArts?
Oh, what am I talking about? I'm talking about Disney. What the hell am I talking about? Monkey Island.
Monkey Island.
Monkey Island is one of my favorite video game franchises at all of all time. Well,
don't expect too much out of it anytime soon.
That's why I'm here to complain today.
I don't remember what my first LucasArts game was. I remember playing a lot of Star Wars games, though. Maybe it was one of the Episode 1 racers. Well, besides your first game, what's your favorite LucasArts game? Before we get into our discussion.
Well, as I just said, Monkey Island, definitely. The Curse of Monkey Island is probably the biggest gaming impact that's happened to me in the past, or PC gaming in general, as far as I can remember. The art style, just the way that the game played, the way the control scheme evolved from the previous titles, it was a big influence on my own artwork, and probably the biggest influence on gaming outside of Nintendo that's in my life.
For me, it was Battlefront 2. I don't know how many hours I've sunk into it, but if I had a way of finding out, I think I would cry. I mean, it's not even funny. Kimberly, is it Rogue Squadron, or do you have another game?
I know there's a lot of problems that people pull up with the series, but I really love The Force Unleashed. Like, the first one for me was just so fun, and I love controlling the character. Like, his moves and the way he battles is just so smooth and quick and fun. I love it.
Well, talking about The Force Unleashed, there's going to be an impact on Nintendo from LucasArts not making games, because believe it or not, some people might not believe it if they didn't know, if they weren't following it, but The Force Unleashed was on Nintendo systems, and so was The Force Unleashed 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so where do you think this is going to go with Nintendo? I mean, or just in gamers in general, there's going to be an impact left. Do you think, like, licensing out games is going to really be the answer?
I think it's going to create a lot of new, fresh take on the games. A lot of LucasArts games really have kind of stagnated in recent years. I mean, especially, as much as I love The Force Unleashed, the second one really, really fell short. The gameplay was shorter, for one, and, it just really felt tacked on, like they weren't really planning ahead. And so, and you see other franchises that they just ignore, like Indiana Jones and stuff like that, that other game developers, most notably Tomb Raiders, and there's one more, I can't think of it, but, similar titles to Indiana Jones have fared quite well, and it's very surprising to see, it's not something that LucasArts does. So I think it's going to be refreshing that a lot of franchises or different angles that we haven't been able to see might be explored in a stronger way.
Andrew, what about you?
You've pretty much just captured everything I have to think about that. I'm drawing a blank here. That's fine. Took it out of my mouth.
That's fine. Personally, I'm a little worried about them licensing out games because, Ubisoft has done Star Wars games before. They mm-hmm. did Fatal Alliance on the DS and PSP. That's the only one I can think of. But, I'm worried about what could happen with Ubisoft or any other company, because going with Ubisoft, we could get Assassin's Creed Star Wars, a game like that. Or we could get Imagine Wookiees, babies, whatever. I mean, it could go either way. So I'm pretty, I don't know what to think. The future of Star Wars games is kind of in jeopardy. I mean, 1313 isn't happening, or right now it isn't. Were either of you looking forward to playing that? Especially if it was on the Wii U.
Now, that was the one that was based on the Boba Fett story, was it? Jabba the Hutt?
General Bounty Hunter, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was looking into playing the new online Star Wars.
the Old Republic.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the Rise of the Hutt Cartel, if that's what you're thinking of, that's still coming out. The expansion.
Oh, good, good.
I don't think it's affected Old Republic because of its involvement with BioWare and EA.
Mm-hmm.
But well, that's not on Nintendo systems.
Well, I know 1313, I read, I think it was on Game Informer, they said that they were talking to an unnamed representative who said they're actually, it's not completely canceled yet. They're looking into licensing it and seeing if it can gain new life in another company, as well as another game, Star Wars First Assault. So fingers crossed, I guess, that it's not actually canceled. I mean, it's still on the homepage, so maybe.
Yeah. Well, they need to get someone to change that homepage.
Yeah.
I was just on it today, and it's like, uh-oh. But the other big game, which has been on and off the past, well, since Battlefront 2 came out, is Battlefront 3. Apparently, mm-hmm. that was 99% finished, and who knows, that might have come to the Wii U. I mean, seeing that it was a this-generation game, as in Xbox 360, PS3, and many people make the argument that the Wii U isn't a next-gen system, so, I mean, that could have come. And that's disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have either of you played the Battlefront games?
No, I can't say I have. No, I mean, I've heard a lot about it, but no.
Well, basically, it's a third-person shooter, but you can play it in first-person view. And it's set in the Star Wars universe, similar to the Battlefield games. Mm-hmm. And you just fight big battles in different Star Wars locations, and you can shoot Ewoks, and it's fun. Yeah. Not that I heard shooting Ewoks, but
I've definitely seen like a lot of concept art they had for it that got leaked and stuff. So, you know, if it really is as far as long as they say it is, they could just easily pass it off over to Disney Interactive or something because it's still within the company.
Yeah.
But do we want that to happen? Do we want Epic Mickey 2
Battlefront? If it's already almost done, I don't think there's much they're going to do, but, you know, finish it up. I don't know.
But does Disney Interactive really have that great of a track record?
With the Infinity project they're working on now, I can just see Star Wars being integrated into that, and I don't know if I like that idea.
Well, Infinity, that's a good point. That could really be something for Star Wars, or if it was just a Star Wars game by itself that used the same idea of the RFID technology. Like you would buy, I mean, imagine all the Star Wars figures they sell. Imagine if each one of them was playable with a Star Wars game.
I feel like it would make its way into Infinity, though, especially when we see Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, another live action series is in, you know, Infinity. So I feel like they could adapt it there, especially, I mean, I go to Disneyland all the time because I'm down here in California and they integrate, you know, Star Wars into basically everything there. So I can't imagine them passing up that opportunity.
Wow.
I would see it more coming maybe in Disney Infinity 2, just because of they want to try and keep it relevant to the most recent movies. Like for the Monsters, Inc. part of it, it's actually Monsters University in Disney Infinity.
But then again, we have Star Pirates Wars coming up. So they are recent.
Well, yeah, but that's not till 2015.
Well, yeah. And the what we've seen from Infinity so far has never been anything from Disney's actual franchises themselves. It's always been the spin-off Pixar and the Pirates of the Caribbean studio and all the stuff like that. Even the Nightmare Before Christmas, which I believe was originally a Touchstone picture before Disney bought it. I can't quite remember. But it seems like they're really reaching out to their extended franchises and that to draw it in all in. So I really don't think I'd be too surprised if I saw Star Wars or even Indiana Jones integrated into this before launch, especially with the delays.
Well, to be fair, the Pirates of the Caribbean is probably the most Disney out of anything.
Well, yeah.
Because obviously it was the original attraction. Like, I mean, I know they did it with Jerry Bruckheimer and that film studio, but it was still Disney. I mean, all the stuff in Disney Infinity is still considered Disney in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But, so Star Wars could be coming to Disney Infinity, or it might not be. Is there any Star Wars games you'd like to see Disney do, especially on Nintendo systems? Or just license out? Is there something either of you want to happen with Star Wars games in the future? Because right now, it's like, well, there's the Old Republic, and maybe there's Disney Infinity? Maybe? Like,
well, the selfish part of me wants a third Unleashed. I really want it to, like, pull it back to the glory of the first game. But I don't see that happening with the sales that the second one got.
Well, wasn't the sales with the Force Unleashed 2? It's like the... It's the whatever that game. It's like the Dead Space 3 situation where it sells a couple million, but it's not enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did quite well. I was actually at E3 when they announced the Force Unleashed 2, and a lot of fanfare, a lot of interest from everyone. You know, and it was really awesome having stormtroopers walk around all 3 days. But I think it's one of those games where they had insanely high expectations for it, so even though it did well, it's not well enough.
I mean, The Force Unleashed 2, I played it on the DS, so I played yeah. If I remember correctly, Nintendo World Report gave it like a 3 out of 10, but I still had fun with it, whatever. But anyways, I do remember the story because I also read the book, because I am a huge Star Wars nerd,
mm-hmm.
geek, whatever word that doesn't offend geeks or nerds, whatever. And and it was, spoiler alert, it was kind of ended on a cliffhanger with Darth Vader being captured, which obviously we know that doesn't work out.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice to see it finished, especially in a video game.
I think it really felt like the first game. They, you know, they were had a really strong story, and they had a really, like, nice end to it, where you're like, awesome, this fits. And then it did so well, and they're like, oh, man, we need a sequel. Quick, change the ending to the last one so it fits. And that was my main problem with the second game, is it just felt so rushed and so convoluted just to, like, get a game in there. But they did set it up very well for a third game, unfortunately, since we haven't seen a third game.
There was some other, well, as you said, Andrew, Super Star Wars, what were your experiences with those games?
I played them a long time ago. I remember that at the time...
In a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, yes. A long, long time ago. I remember them being blisteringly hard. I haven't played them since I was probably about 10 years old. That said, I know they were recently put out on Virtual Console. You were talking about the future of the company. I wouldn't mind seeing maybe a HD remake of those, maybe with some of the additional soundtracks added from the remakes of the movies or the remastering of the movies. I'd like to see some more, I don't know, some more 2D elements put into future games like that, or maybe a retro attempt to recapture the feel of those original games. Because at the time, being a kid, I'd seen the movies, but it didn't really click onto me until I got that sort of sense of interaction with the world. And it does do hints about the not the extended universe per se, but it expands on the plot line and the little interactions that happen between the major events in the movies and that. And it was really interesting to me, and I think that's what got me into Star Wars. I started reading the extended universe novels and things like that, and it just went from there.
So basically with doing a retro kind of game, I mean, I can see what you're saying is, if they do that kind of game now, it's not going to cost a lot of money. And if it does well, it'll make them a lot of money. It's low risk, high reward, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. And get them new fans, so win-win.
Yeah.
And it seems like the perfect sort of thing to put on, say, the Wii U eShop, where you get the little HD display down on the gamepad screen. And, yeah.
Back to more Star Wars games on Nintendo system. Star Wars Shadows of the Empire is pretty well known for its opening in on the Hoth battle, where you can fly around the AT-ATs and, you know, knock them down with the string. Well, it's not a string, but you know what I mean. The rope.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a string. It's a rope. It's something.
Metal thingy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did either of you play that, or is that another new?
Yeah, I think I almost finished it a long time ago. It's 64 era. I was in high school then. Bad memories.
I wasn't even born, so.
64 was when I started getting all my games.
And then there was a lot of Star Wars games on, like, the Game Boy Advance and the GameCube. Like, Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast was on the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's all these weird Game Boy Advance ones. There was, I'm looking at the list here. I played them. There was Millennium Falcon to the Rescue or something, and it was really bad.
Haven't even and heard
there,
it. Yeah, I'm trying to find it. It's bad. I remember that. It's very bad.
Just one of those games that's so bad it's a collector's item and you have to play it.
No, not that. I bought it for like $2 at GameStop a year ago. Yeah.
Mm.
It was one of those bad games.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, pretty bad. How many more times can I say bad in this podcast? Probably a couple more, but I'm not going to. So, we've talked about our favorite LucasArts games. We've also touched on our least favorite right now. Back to the impact on Nintendo. I mean, what would you like to see? If Nintendo were to make a Star Wars game, what would you like them to do? Hey, either one of you. Andrew?
Like I mentioned before, I'd like to see some more 2D remakes, maybe onto the Wii U eShop or things like that. I think my judgment on future Star Wars titles will also heavily depend on the next movie, which is scheduled for 2015, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so there's a pretty sizable gap there. If they go into their old their backlog of titles and start putting more stuff on Virtual Console to, I don't know, hype people up and people get people back into Star Wars mode before the next big movie hits, it could be a good success.
Well, if Nintendo were to make a Star Wars game, I would want to see something along the lines of Skyward Sword, where it's a motion plus game, but with a lightsaber.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, can either of you believe we had the Wii, and when it was first unveiled, everyone's like, oh, we're going to get that big Star Wars game for it, and the Kinect got it, and that wasn't that big of a game either. Like,
you mean,
I think, yeah. Star Wars Kinect is kind of, they didn't go out in style, LucasArts,
no,
to be honest.
I mean, it looks hilarious, and I'd totally play it, but that is not a game that you want to be like, yeah, we're officially LucasArts, this is our official game, like, no.
Yeah, it's kind of a big shit stain on their reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Well, let's wrap this up, because clearly, we don't have much else to talk about. So, thank you for joining me, and bye.
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 Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget you can send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and please rate and review the show on iTunes.